Like most judges, I started out as a counselor to my people. My house was situated in the beautiful countryside of Ephraim, where olive and palm trees flourished. I used to sit in the cool of the mornings under the most royal date palm and give counsel to people who came to me. I suppose I became quite proficient in my counseling as people would come far and wide to hear the advice that I would give them. I used my God-given gifts to judge disputes between neighbors. I settled many arguments and would not let them leave without peace in their hearts toward one another. I even thought about changing my name to Judy and starting my own TV show. Judge Judy does have a nice ring to it, doesn't it? But I digress. My greatest challenge came when my country went to war against the Canaanites. The enemy had 900 chariots of iron. We had none. Zip, zero, nada. The people lived in fear, but I burned with indignation at the oppression of my people. I felt this call rise up against their fear and complacency, and realized the fire in my soul was the great hope in our great God. He would come to our rescue if only people would just honor him. Where were our leaders? Where were the men ready to go to battle and fight for God's people and his honor? I looked around but could find no leadership among the men of Israel. I should have come here. Lots of leadership in the men. What was I to do? I knew the Lord wanted me to use this burning desire for the salvation of his people, but I needed some male leadership, someone under whose authority I could submit. How could I find a leader who shared my passion? We didn't have social media back then. A megaphone would have come in handy, but that wasn't invented either. I summoned up the courage to approach one of Israel's most capable military men, Barak. God had touched his heart too. Together, we would work out a plan for action against the enemy. I let Barak know that I was not afraid of Sisera, commander of King Jabin's army. Neither was I afraid of his 900 chariots. The spirit that could animate an army was greater than either weapons or fortifications. We recalled that God had led the Israelites through the Red Sea and had broken the mighty oppressor, the Pharaoh of Egypt. Barak and I agreed that the God who had proved himself to be mightier than Pharaoh was also mightier than either King Jabin or Sisera, his commander. I could tell that Barak was just a little bit hesitant, but I encouraged him with God's very words. Thus saith the Lord, behold, the Lord, the God of Israel, has commanded, go, take 10,000 men with you and fight. I will give you the victory and deliver the enemy into your hands. Barak heard God's command. He felt my confidence, and he knew I had spoken truth. After all, I was not only a judge, but a prophetess, right? I awaited his answer, and finally he blurted out, if you will go with me, then I will go. But if you won't go with me, then I will not go. Wait, what? I didn't see that coming. Now I'm going to let Marianne tell you the rest of the story. I'm going back to my chambers. Call me for an appointment if you need counseling. You may remain seated.
It's a long walk from back there. Good heavens. Good morning, everyone. You know, before we get started, may I please have that napkin that's on that table? Thank you. I need something to underline the words because otherwise I get lost. Hi. Boy, y'all look good. Y'all right here, I like that. My name is Marianne Patterson, in case there's anybody here who doesn't know me. And as you know, we're looking at Deborah today out of the book of Judges, and we're going to focus on courage, her courage, our courage, and the courage that we have available to us from God. And you know, with all that's going on in the world today, we need courage, don't we? We need the courage to live by faith. We need the courage to be confident in what we believe. And it's important that we know what we believe and why we believe it. And you know, I think one of the best places to find courage is in the lives of the men and women of the Bible. They walked a very similar road to the road that we walk today. The horror and the violence of the book of Judges, I think, is evidence of that, right? Nothing new under the sun. I'll be honest with you, I don't like the book of Judges. You know, every year as I go through the Bible, I'm tempted when I get to the book of Judges to just skip it. But it is an important book. Of course it is, because it's in the canon of Scripture. So we should read it, and we should look at it, but the importance lies in the fact that it shows us the ugliness of sin, of my sin. It also points out the gracious grace and faithfulness of God. Again and again we see his grace. Again and again we see his faithfulness. It also shows the immense grace that was given to the leaders who faced insurmountable and impossible situations, yet they were given the courage that they needed to do what God had asked them to do. So in their experiences, we see the courage God gave each of them, and we find the courage that's available to each of us through their example. Let's pray and we'll begin. Lord Jesus, we do need courage today. I need courage as I stand here before you, and I just pray, God, that your word would go forth and that you would strengthen the inner woman of each one of us today. Strengthen us that we may stand and serve you without fear or doubt. Thank you, Lord, for being here. We ask in Jesus' name. I'm going to use the New Living Translation today. I don't use it to study normally, but I find it's easier to read and easier to understand in general situations. So I'm going to begin in Judges chapter 4, verse 1. Also, I need to let you know I don't speak Hebrew. So, you know, you can correct the names later. Just don't let me hear it. Okay. Verse 1, after Ehud's death, the Israelites again did evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord turned them over to King Yabin of Hazor, a Canaanite king. The commander of his army was Sisera, who lived in some place I cannot even begin to pronounce. Sisera, who had 900 iron chariots, ruthlessly oppressed the Israelites for 20 years. Then the people of Israel cried out to the Lord for help. Deborah, the wife of Lippidoth, was a prophet who was judging in Israel at that time. She would sit under the palm of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the country of Ephraim, and the Israelites would go to her for judgment. So we see that Deborah was a godly woman who God had raised up to judge and inspire greatness in others. And I think that's what courage does. I think it inspires us to be courageous. When we see someone else being courageous, we gain courage from that. Billy Graham said, "Courage is contagious. When a brave man takes a stand, the spines of others are often stiffened." Deborah's times were marked by economic depression, confusion, war, and yet she let her life shine with such power that eventually through her victory and Israel's victory, normal life was restored to the nation. The Bible doesn't say that Deborah was beautiful or attractive, but there was something magnetic about her. You see, she didn't rise up and go to the people. The people came to her. So she must have had wisdom, integrity, compassion, kindness. She was attractive. They came to regard her as their leader. Again, Deborah sat under her palm tree in particularly evil days. There were raids and murders and robberies. That was their normal everyday life. People were afraid, just like they are today. Don't you see that? I see that people are afraid everywhere today. It's clear that Deborah was a great encourager. Hers was a faith that would not shrink. The immorality of her times and the fear of the dreaded enemy of their day, it didn't intimidate her. She still stood. She stood against the corrupting, degenerating culture of her times. Despite the darkness that settled upon her nation, she was a light, and the people, like moths, were attracted to that light. So they came to her. There's darkness on our nation today, too. I don't think any of us would deny that. It's corrupt. It's degenerate. But we, the body of Christ, we are to be a light in that darkness. Matthew 5:14 tells us that we are to be the light of the world that is seen by all. We are to stand. It takes courage to stand in the battle today. But you know, I love it's in your workbooks, and I'm sure you read it and worked on it, but I want to read Paul's wonderful words to us that give us encouragement and give us some tools to help us stand in the battle. It's Ephesians, of course, Ephesians 6, starting in verse 10. Again, this is the NLT. Listen to what it says. "Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, against the evil spirits in heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so that you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then, after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." Amen? I love that. Imagine, just imagine for a minute, if every one of us in this room today would pray through these verses every morning. If we did that for a month, what would we look like? Would we be like Deborah, who regardless of the oppression of the enemy and the media and the whatever comes against us, would we be able to stand and stand firm and trust God? I think we would. I think it would change us. Deborah knew about the evil of her day. She was fully aware of it. But she also knew her God. She knew that God was greater than any evil she and her nation faced. And that gave her courage. That should give us courage too, because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same God that Deborah served is the God that we serve. He hasn't changed. He's greater than any evil we will ever face. Let's take courage in that. All right, we're going to read on, starting in verse 6 of chapter 4. One day, she sent for Barak, son of Abinoam, who lived in Kadesh in the land of Naphtali. She said to him, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, commands you. Call out 10,000 warriors from the tribes of Naphtali and Zebulun at Mount Tabor, and I will call out Sisera, commander of Yabin's army, along with his chariots and warriors to the Kishon River. There I will give you victory over him." Barak told her, "I will go, but only if you go with me." "Very well," she replied, "I will go with you, but you will receive no honor in this venture, for the Lord's victory over Sisera will be at the hands of a woman." So Deborah went with Barak to Kadesh. At Kadesh, Barak called together the tribes of Zebulun and Naphtali, and 10,000 warriors went up with him. Deborah also went with him. For 20 years, Sisera had spread fear and terror everywhere in the land of Israel. His 900 chariots of iron were regardless as invincible. Israel was on foot. There weren't many strong male leaders at that time in the land, which is why God raised up Deborah. The spirit of the people was broken. And you know, I see that today because of weak leaders. I see that the spirit of the United States is broken. People are giving up. They're saying, well, what's the use? You know, our government is broken. Our planet is dying. There are wars breaking out everywhere. Let's get out of here. Let's go hide someplace. Long before the chariots of Sisera had rolled over Israel's land, it had rolled over the people's hearts. They'd given up before they even went to battle. But when Deborah stood with courage, you see, it's contagious. She stood with courage. Barak sent word to the frightened Israelites to come and help, and they responded in such great numbers that a powerful army, 10,000 men, rallied to them. God's people were rallied to act together against a common enemy. We need to do that. We need to remember we're not alone. Look around you. I think that that's what the enemy tries to say to us. You need to be afraid because you're all alone. We must stand together as God's people against the evils of this world. If we don't, who will? Right? It's faith in God and the awareness of his presence that frees us from fear and enables us to stand. Deborah believed in God and that he had a plan to give them victory over their enemies. We have that same victory available to us. Listen to this verse. This is a very important promise from 1 John 5:4. For every child of God defeats this evil world, and we achieve this victory through our faith. According to this verse, faith conquers evil. How many of you believe in Jesus Christ as the only Son of the living God? Your faith conquers evil. Your faith in Jesus Christ conquers evil. Faith conquers fear. Throughout the Bible, God commands us to fear not, to be of good cheer, to have courage in our lives. And you know, we all have doubts and fears. Nobody's free from that completely. But that's when we need to turn to Scripture, and we need to turn to each other, and we need to reach out and say, you know what, this scares me. Can we pray about this? I have a pile of laundry that won't die. That frightens me. Can we pray about this? Right? I know there's some of you in this room that face that every day. God bless you. I'm praying for you. The Bible is so rich with so many verses that can give me courage and inspire me to be steadfast in the faith. God commands us to be courageous because if I'm courageous, it shows that I have faith and that I have confidence in God. You see, courage is a proof of my faith. I've selected four of the probably hundreds of verses found on courage in the Bible. I'm going to read them for you. I'm going to suggest that you pick one of these and memorize it so that when you face that trial, when you face that laundry, you can repeat this to yourself. The first one is Deuteronomy 31:6. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid and do not panic before them, for the Lord your God will personally go ahead of you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you. Joshua 1:9. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Isaiah 41:10. Don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. And finally, Psalm 23, verse 4. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. I chose these verses because they all have something in common. Did you hear it? They all promise that God is with me always, forever. He'll never leave me or abandon me, no matter what. Even Jesus, in Matthew 28:20, he finishes that wonderful gospel with the words, "And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Whatever age that is, if he comes back tomorrow or if he tarries until I die, he's still going to be with me no matter what. Faith in God and the awareness of his presence helps us face the fear and stand. You see, courage has its source in God. That's why the world is so afraid. They don't have God. They don't have the Lord. You cannot have courage without the Lord. You know, you've probably heard it said that God won't give you anything you can't handle. Frankly, that's not what the Bible teaches. The truth is, we can't handle anything without Jesus Christ. That wonderful verse in 1 Corinthians 10:13, that's teaching us there's no temptation that we cannot resist. But sometimes, to be honest with you, God does send us things or allow things in our lives that overwhelm us. Can I get an amen? And it's at that time we are driven closer to the shepherd of our souls, is it not? Another thing that we see about Deborah is that she sought the help of others. Deborah succeeded because she recognized the value of cooperation. You know, it's reported by the Navy SEALs that the most successful SEALs are the ones who draw out the cooperation of others. You see, we become fearful when we believe that everything depends upon us. Do we have any control freaks in the room? Thank you. One honest person in the back. That's when we become afraid, you know, when we think everything depends upon me. There is great strength in a shared sense of purpose. When we gather together and under one banner and we have that purpose to carry on. Deborah summoned Barak from Kadesh. She told him God's plan and asked for his help in carrying it out. His response is evidence of her influence. She had a powerful influence. Barak said, if you'll go with me, then I will go, but if you will not go with me, I will not go. See, his response is conditional. Why is that? If the woman went with him, he felt he would be successful in battle. Where was his trust? It was in Deborah. She couldn't save him. Only God could save him. I think it would have been more appropriate if Barak had remembered Psalm 20, verse 7. It says, some nations boast in their chariots and horses, but we boast in the name of the Lord. You see, he had what he needed right in front of him. He had the Bible in that sense. So Deborah, she courageously promised to go with him, but told him God would bring the victory through a woman, and Barak would have no glory in it. See, what was Deborah's motivation? She wanted deliverance for her people, right? And she knew that the only way that was going to happen is if they did it God's way. And God's way was to face the enemy. Remember, back up in these verses, God called forth the enemy. He said, come on. I'm going to put a hook in your mouth, and I'm going to have you come against the Israelites so that they can wipe you out, and my power will be evident. I think facing our fears is the best way to live. Because you know what? There's nothing so scary that I can't overcome it with the power of Jesus Christ. So Deborah wasn't a soldier, and it took guts for her to go into battle, but she knew the only way to get Barak to do what God wanted him to do was for her to go with him. So she went to battle. Barak called together his army, went against the enemy, and who gave the victory? God gave the victory. The rest of chapter 4 gives the details of the battle and the effective, rather gruesome way that Yael killed Sisera. I'm sure when she woke up that morning, she wasn't planning on putting a tent peg through someone's head, but it worked. I don't know that I could have done that, but God gave her the courage to do it. All right, I'm going to move to chapter 5 now, and I'm just going to read a few verses from it. We're going to start in verse 1. On that day, this is the day after the battle, on that day, Deborah and Barak, son of Abinoam, sang this song. Israel's leaders took charge and the people gladly followed. Praise the Lord. Listen, you kings, pay attention, you mighty rulers, for I will sing to the Lord. I will make music to the Lord, the God of Israel. Lord, when you set out from Seir and marched across the fields of Edom, the earth trembled. The cloudy skies poured down rain. The mountains quaked in the presence of the Lord, the God of Mount Sinai, in the presence of the Lord, the God of Israel. Then down to verse 18, but Zebulun risked his life, as did Naphtali, on the heights of the battlefield. The kings of Canaan came and fought at Taanach near Megiddo Springs, but they carried off no silver treasures. The stars fought from heaven. The stars in their orbits fought against Sisera. The Kishon River swept them away, that ancient torrent, the Kishon. March on with courage, my soul. We see in these first 5 verses of this chapter that Deborah's courage and power came from her ability to worship and praise and give glory to God. She was also able to praise others. I really love that. If you read the whole song, you'll see that in verse 24 and following, she included Yael in her triumph. It takes grace to honor others, and Deborah honors Yael in that song. Yael was very brave, like I mentioned. I don't think I could have done what she did. And you notice she used her influence to lure Sisera in, and she conquered him there. I think the point I'm trying to make is that we need to honor those and compliment those who are standing in the battle. And that could be the person who's cleaning the bathrooms, or up in the sound booth, or in the kitchen, or wherever. Whenever we see a man or woman doing something worthwhile in the name of our Lord, they need to know we appreciate them. A friendly touch, an encouraging word. You see, it gives them the courage to carry on. You know, it's really easy to come up with constructive criticism. I'm guilty of it. I know none of you would ever do that. But somehow the words of praise for someone's integrity or their kindness or changing my child's diaper, it doesn't come so easy. Sometimes they're left unsaid. Verse 18 tells us that Zebulun and Naphtali risked their lives on the heights of the battlefield. So it begs the question, where am I in the battlefield? Are we on the heights of the battlefield? Are we out there really fighting the battle? Or are we just hanging out? Are we engaged? Are we in fellowship? Are we in the Word? Are we doing what we need to do to honor the Lord and be His woman? I'm going to go from teaching to preaching now. I'm going to say something that some of you are not going to like. I'm just going to say it. I think perhaps we should spend less time looking at the internet and more time looking at our God and praising Him for what He is doing, because He's working. You know, since COVID, there has been an uptick of 60% of homeschoolers in the United States. That's what God's doing. That's what He's using. He's using COVID to get our children safe. They're doing it. The communities are doing it to keep their kids from going from school to jail. Because in a lot of communities, that's what's happening. Do we know God as well as we know the evils of this world? Do we know what He's doing as much as we know what's happening around us? There's a lot to ponder in this song, and I hope you get a chance to read through it. Some of the best lines I love. The earth trembled. The cloudy skies poured down rain. The mountains quaked in the presence of the Lord. And the stars in their orbits fought against Sisera. There's a whole lot of shaking going on. I mean, My knight and I were out hiking one time, and we're in the middle of nowhere, and there was an earthquake. That was awesome. I was like, wow, I could feel the earth move. But we can see in those lines that it's God's creation. The very things that God created, He used to fight against the forces of evil. He defeated Sisera. There's no two ways about it. Deborah firmly believed that the battle was the Lord's. Back in chapter 4 again, verse 14, Deborah says to Barak, "Get ready. This is the day the Lord will give you victory over Sisera, for the Lord is marching ahead of you." We never do that old hymn, the battle hymn of the Republic. I love that old hymn. That'll get your blood up if nothing else will. Deborah never left God out of the equation. How often do I leave Him out of the equation in my life? How often do I think, really, Lord, this isn't happening. What are we going to do? What are we going to, you know? No, oh, he's got a battle plan. She knew he was going to decide the battle, and he did. There was an earthquake, a storm that drove rain right into the faces of the Canaanites. The Kishon River flooded, swept them away. I can imagine their iron chariots sinking in the mud. Bye-bye. The Lord destroyed their enemies. When someone was needed to kindle a flame in the heart of the nation, Deborah heard the call of God, and she responded. She didn't know how God was going to win the battle, but she was confident that he would. She had no idea what he was going to do. And I think that's sometimes where we need to be, too. I don't need to know all the answers of how God is going to work and how God is. Who knew he would use COVID to bring our children home? Right? Again, we have to believe. We have to listen for him and obey his will. We have to seek that. We become fearful whenever we think everything depends on us. We can do nothing without Jesus Christ. Well, so we know the end of the story, right? Because Deborah was obedient and Barak was eventually obedient, Sisera and his 900 chariots were helpless before the army of God. I love this. Abraham Lincoln, if you ever have a chance to look at his quotes and look at his life, you'll see he was a man of God. One time he was asked during the height of the Civil War, "Do you think God is on our side?" And Abraham answered, "That question is not nearly as important to me as, are we on God's side?" See, the Lord is still marching today. He hasn't given up. And it's important that we find out where he's going and follow him. Then we'll have that courage that comes from being in God's will. See, obedience gives me courage, right? When I obey, when I know what the Lord wants me to do and I do it, yeah, that gives me courage. I don't think a study about courage would be complete without talking about the most courageous man who ever lived, Jesus Christ. You know, if you've read the gospel accounts, which I'm pretty sure most of you have, the crucifixion was horrendous. It's a picture of great pain and suffering. In Luke 22:44, Luke tells us that when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, just before the cross, he was in anguish, so much so that he sweat blood. I can't imagine being in that kind of turmoil in my heart. The Greek meaning of that word anguish is anxiety and fear. You see, Jesus was fully man. He was afraid. He didn't want to face that horrible death. He'd seen crucifixions. He knew what was going to happen to him. In Gethsemane, Jesus was at war with the powers of hell and his own flesh as he faced those horrors. But there's a short phrase at the beginning of Luke 22:45, just six words, and it says, "And when he rose from prayer," when Jesus stood up from prayer, that was the defining moment of the battle. See, for him, the struggle was over. He stopped praying. Pray time was finished. Why? Because he had resolved to face the cross. He had told his Father, "Nevertheless, not thy will, not my will, but thy will be done." That's where Jesus won the victory for my salvation, for your salvation. That's where he won the victory of going to the cross. After that, you see, he stands firm before Pilate, before the Sanhedrin, before them all. He stands firm. For us to have courage to face our own cross, our own battles, we must have that same resolve. You can't build a house in a hurricane. We have to be ready today to do the Father's will before we go into battle. It took tremendous courage for him to face that horrible death. Why did he do it? Why? What could have possibly motivated Jesus to become our sin and take the wrath of God? Hebrews 12, Hebrews, my favorite book in the Bible, clearly tells us, because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, despising its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Think of all the hostility he endured from sinful people. Then you won't become weary and give up. Jesus did it because of the joy that was waiting for him. That joy, what was that? It was us. It was you. It was me. He faced the cross because of the prospect of the relationship he could have with us, and it gave him courage to do for us what he couldn't do, what we couldn't do for ourselves. When I think of that, when I think of his sacrifice, it gives me courage to persevere. When I keep my eyes on Jesus, the weight of fear is off of me. When I anticipate my forever home with him, I am motivated to be courageous. With Paul, I can say, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing to the glory that is going to be revealed to us." That's Romans 8:18. These are hard and painful times, no joke. But there have always been hard and painful times. The book of Judges shows us that very clearly. And there's lots of things that we can be fearful about. We can allow the media and our circumstances and the trials that come our way, whether they're an aging parent or a health issue or a wayward child. All of those things can frighten us. They can discourage us. Or we can take that D in the word discourage and change it to an H and make it his courage. I'm going to close with one final verse, Psalm 27, verses 13 and 14. Yet I am confident I will see the Lord's goodness while I am here in the land of the living. Wait patiently for the Lord. Be brave and courageous. Yes, wait patiently for the Lord. He always shows up. Amen? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you. We thank you showed up here today to be with us. We thank you that you have a plan and a purpose, that you have the victory, that you will continue to march in our behalf. We see the wars all around us, Lord, but I know your grace is greater. I also see your spirit moving across the face of the earth. Lord, I pray for each woman here that you would strengthen the inner woman, that you would give her the courage and the temerity to face whatever it is that she has to face today. Bless their table time, Lord. Bless their speech. Let all things be done for the glory of God. We ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.